On this day, June 8th, in Saints history, Stan Brock was born. Huh? It's funny. Last week we recorded, it was the day that Hobie Brenner was born. Today is the day that Stan Brock is born. And since we probably have a lot more listeners who don't know who Hobie Brenner or Stan Brock is, I think it's a good thing to let them know. I mean, these are guys who played for the Saints for a long time, and they, you know, it's kind of an educational moment.
No. I guess we're kind of on like the big lunar cycle of big white mustached guys.
We're trying to see how many episodes in a row we can do a cold open with big white mustache guys from Saints history.
I mean, those were definitely two of the biggest.
So he did coach
some military academy.
Well, I thought did he coach?
Only in 07 and 08, that's it. Yeah, U.S. Military Academy is right, Damon. And then he was fired in 2008 after a 6-18 record. Poor Stan Brock. But he's, if you remember, doesn't he do the pre-game on WWL?
You're thinking of Steve Court.
Oh, I am. You're right.
Which is great. I've never heard who the fuck, I don't even know who the hell Steve Court is, other than every once in a while he shows up on the radio.
I could have sworn I heard Stan Brock on the radio, though.
Well, didn't he, somebody did it between Archie and
Hokie?
Yeah, there was an offensive lineman. And I don't know if it was Stan Brock.
He played for the Saints from 80 to 92. 12 years. All right, we got it.
Yeah. Luca wasn't sure who Steve Court was.
And then he played with the Chargers till 95. I mean, the dude played for 15 years.
He played in that Super Bowl with the Chargers?
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
Okay. And Ricky Jackson played in that Super Bowl for the 49ers.
Older brother Pete played in the NFL for the Patriots, the model franchise. And he also played in a Super Bowl. Coincidentally, was in New Orleans when he played Super Bowl 20.
Okay.
But, yeah, anyway, so Stan Brock, happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday, Stan Brock.
Welcome to the old Saints big white guys with mustache club.
Yeah.
On the Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
What's up, Who Dat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk skill rating right now is a 2.
Nice.
Yeah. I started with 2 vodka drinks. Went old school college years, and I've been drinking some vodka and Red Bull.
I was going to say, old school college years, is that Natty Light?
Actually, no. It wasn't, vodka Red Bull wasn't even around, I think.
It definitely was not.
It was more, yeah, this is more like Saints 2006.
Right. My Dallas trip in 06 was all Red Bull and vodka.
There you go. Oh, yeah, well. All right, well, anyway, the Saints continue to prepare for the upcoming season. The Pelicans made a big announcement today. Jason was a guest on the Alan Michaels Show on 103.7 The Game. Roman Harper got his old number back. The Saints skipped practice today to ride go-karts. And Arya was luckier than on Game of Thrones. Spoiler alert, if you didn't watch it, too bad.
I like how you say spoiler alert after you told them what happened.
You see what I did there? That's right.
Yeah.
All this and more, maybe a little more on this week's episode. We got a couple of guests coming in later on the Dome Patrol Podcast.com. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'll go with a 2 also. Had a little bit of Red Bull. Funny, had one Red Bull and vodka? I had one Red Bull and vodka to get me started, then I ate dinner, then I'm drinking wine right now. So, like I mentioned on Alan's show today,
you're going to drink wine, so you can't be a liar.
I said 50-50 wine or whiskey, and it ended up being the wine, so.
There you go. All right, Damon, welcome to the show. What's your number?
0.
All right. Were you on mute for a minute there? Yes.
That is correct.
A little while to answer.
Asshole.
Damon chooses not to listen to us until it's time to...
Right. What an asshole.
You don't even listen to the show.
Well, the show is terrible. I mean, I can't, you know, it really is. Y'all two are horrible. I can't listen to y'all.
All right, let's move into headlines.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Springfield.
Obviously, the big headline, I guess, maybe today, I was going to go, Jason, with you on Alan Michaels' show. We'll talk about that after. But really, it was Sean Payton was a guest on Jim Rome. Damon, you were the one who kind of brought it to the show, so you start with us. Start
well,
us off.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he nothing really mind-blowing. I mean, I heard, unless you heard something different than I did. Yeah, he was just on Rome, and they were asking him about his contract, and if he, I mean, this is what I found most interesting, if he thought about exploring his options. And he said, you know, he'd be lying if that every coach in the league doesn't think about another job. He said, but he has the perfect situation here with the stability and the coaching, the ownership, the general,
what
you know.
What he meant to say was the control. Well, I mean, like we mentioned last week, he has all the control in that building.
Right. He has a lot of control. I don't think he has all control.
He's got a hell of a lot of it.
Yeah, he has a hell of a lot. You know, I mean, Lachey has a lot. And Mickey, I mean, I think that's your trinity right there.
You mean Lauscha?
You know, that's your brain trust right there. I don't think Mr. Benson is making day-to-day decisions anymore. Jason, what else do you remember him talking about? Huh?
I didn't listen to it. Sorry.
I did, and you know the route I'm going to take, Damon. You're taking the better route than I am. I listen to it more evaluating Jim Rome than Sean Payton. And I thought Jim Rome demonstrated the national media type guy. He doesn't – I mean, he didn't listen to a word Sean Payton said. He just had a line of questions that he was going to ask him, and he asked him the questions. Most of them – it was a Sean Payton interview, not a Saints interview, and I guess that's
– Of course, he's in Los Angeles. He doesn't follow anything about the Saints at all.
I know. But I will say he talked about the Benson and the Kentucky Derby, which I do think is actually a good thing that we get a little exposure for that on Jim Rome, that – Tom Benson had two horses in the Kentucky Derby. But that kind of dominated the conversation, didn't it? I mean,
that was the first several minutes, you know. It was roughly a 10-minute interview, and that was the first 3 minutes of it.
But and then they did talk about Sean Payton, and I did like that part of it where they talked about, I mean, Sean Payton, Drew Brees, where he was kind of like, what is it about Brees, Manning, Brady, you know, those kind of guys, like is it a commitment, is it this? And I love Sean Payton's answer, like, it, you know, one Super Bowl, two Super Bowls, whatever, like that, it, nothing's ever going to be enough for these guys. That's the kind of guy you want, that competitive spirit. And he says the only thing that is going to stop them is time, and so they want to accomplish as much as they can before time runs out on them. I like that answer. Then he talked about Will Smith, and I liked what he said about Will Smith, too. And damn, I wish Will Smith was alive to be our intern this year, because I wonder if Sean Payton's long-term vision was that Will Smith replaces Bill Johnson.
Did someone say Bill Bransky?
I'd like to think so. Bring another guy back, yeah. You know, to help with the locker room on top of the other news that we'll get to.
Mm-hmm.
Bring another guy back.
Right, that's where Will Smith was going to go. What Peyton said, he was going to, you know, assist the defensive line.
Anyway, it was
good. If
nice
you
nice to have Sean Payton and the Saints featured on national media.
Right, right. If you want to listen to it, you can go on. I forget the link I sent you.
JimRome.com. I mean, I'm sure you can find it.
Yeah.
All right. So then the next piece then we'll talk about is Jason was a guest on the Alan Michaels Show, 103.7 The Game. You can listen to it. I sent a tweet with a link to the page where you can listen to the clip. Jason, how was the interview? How'd you do?
Yeah, I mean, like we glanced on Harper last week, but with it being official, that was obviously a big talking point. But then we mentioned Rob Ryan, and we got into a little Jarris Bird and the safeties thing, which I kind of liked. So.
I love that you had to talk about Brandon. Well, no, y'all didn't talk about Brandon.
Well, no, we did, but I pulled, like, in combination with Rob Ryan and Browner in terms of me wanting to move forward. Actually, what was funny was that he asked me what we were going to talk about tonight. I'm like, man, I don't know. We got Harper.
Oh, yeah.
then I don't know what else we have. It's like, well, we got the U.S. Open next week.
If and he's like, you'd have known about the Pelicans thing by then, right?
Well, so he definitely brushed up when I mentioned U.S. Open. He's like, man.
That's unusual. There was...
Pardon me?
I said, I've never even heard of something like that.
Yes.
He agrees with me and Damon. And I like
because I mentioned you two was like, well, Damon and Jeff don't like it, but the U.S. Open's...
I think it was him. But anyway, yeah, good segment. Thank you, Alan Michael, for having us on. And for those of you who don't listen to Alan Michael or do, who listen to the Doom Patrol podcast.
.com.
A whole lot of .coms tonight. We will have Alan Michael on the Doom Patrol podcast.
.com.
In 2 weeks. So not next week, but the week after. So make sure you listen. We're going to run him through the gauntlet for our longtime listeners who know when we bring guests on. You know what the gauntlet is. Speaking of the gauntlet, Jason,
the gauntlet.
Do you want to throw your dad on?
Yeah. Hold on. All right,
we're talking to Christy here.
That's right, King Jet.
King Jet, because he's a Jets fan.
Yes.
Okay, so the first of all, you're a Saints fan above Jets fan, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay. A number one Saints fan.
Okay. So first question in the gauntlet is why Jets?
Why Jets? Well, that's the name of my fantasy football franchise that's been a mini empire.
How many years have you won?
Oh, gosh. We've won...
more than the Saints?
Oh, yeah. We've had, I think, 4 titles in the Whale League and 3 titles in the Evine League. So, yeah, I just almost have a ring for every finger, but not quite.
Yeah, I remember one year that you beat my team out of the playoffs, the last game before the Super Bowl. So, I'm not a fan of the King Jets.
But not everybody can be fans of the Jets. We're like the Yankees, you know. We have friends and we have enemies.
When you're successful, people want to knock you down.
That's correct.
All right. So, all right. Here's the questions. Then we're going to run you through the gauntlet for all our Saints fans that are listening.
All right. I got some Saints answers.
First, quick question: how did you become a Saints fan?
A Saints fan because I was born in LaPlace and Saints got their franchise. That was my team, a local team.
Local guy?
I had to support the local team, and they've been bad for so long, and finally they're good. It's just fantastic. Had a lot of patience there. Those were some lean years.
Yeah.
1967 to 2000.
You're going all the way to the first playoff win.
Yeah, well, actually, when Jim Mora came, it was like the Messiah almost. Actually, had a winning team with Bobby Hebert.
That's right. A couple of playoffs. But all right. So then, speaking of the yesteryear, who you cannot pick a current like a player from the 06 era on, right? You cannot pick one of those. Who's your favorite player from yesteryear?
Ooh, that's a loaded, tough question. But the one guy that comes to my mind is Ricky Jackson.
Who's the picture on our Facebook page, actually.
Is he really?
Have you ever been to Club 57?
Club 57.
Do you remember Club 57 back in the... I remember driving past that on the way back from New Orleans all the time when you're coming back on I-10. It was at Club 57 light.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that. But, Kenner? Yeah, Kenner. Well, Ricky was famous for this one interview he gave. And his famous saying was, "I'm going to put the hurts on people." Yeah, you know, he's a good ball player, but I'm going to put the hurts on him. You know?
That was before he thought he was talking about his hometown and growing vegetables.
That's right. Then he had this famous accident in his Corvette when he was going about 110. And went off the road. He fractured his cheekbone. And then he played like 2 days later. He played in the game. After having surgery on his cheekbone.
We won't see that happen in today's football.
No, not at all.
So,
He was tough as nails. He was a gamer.
You couldn't understand a word he said, but yeah, you're right. That's why he didn't do too many interviews.
No, he did.
All right, so then who's your favorite player from the Peyton era, and you cannot say Drew Brees?
Oh, I can't say Drew Brees. I'm gonna have to say Marcus Colston.
All right.
Man, just a quiet professional and just did the job and took a lot of hard hits and never complained, never said anything, and just, you know, just a humble guy. I mean, you know, I just admire guys like that.
Yeah. Never got in trouble.
Yeah, never got in trouble. And
you know, I don't think he drinks alcohol. I mean,
really?
Yeah, because I remember we met him. It was like a party in New Orleans or something. And we went to some club, and he was there, not drinking in a while. And we ended up talking to him for a little bit. And I mean, he pretty much was like, he doesn't drink. Like, the people around him were like, this guy doesn't drink alcohol.
Yeah, I met him one time at a church function in La Place. And he gave a talk, and very nice, well-spoken. And, God, you look up to him, he was like a giant. I mean, he is tall.
Yeah.
I can see why he was hard to cover, because he's tall and rangy.
He caught whatever you threw at him.
That's right.
All right, so then next question. How do you prepare for game day? Bloody Mary, maybe a...
Well, yeah, usually I like to have a Bloody Mary the morning of the game.
I know this about you.
Yeah, how you knew that?
You know.
Yeah, kind of Bloody Mary.
An educated guess.
Montague tradition.
Right.
Bloody Mary kind of wakes me up, gets me going. The juice is flowing.
Yep.
And then I get to the game, or if I'm watching at home, then I usually get like a Crown Black, a double shot Crown Black and Sprite.
There you go.
Kick back and watch the game.
There you go. You own any jerseys?
Oh yeah, several.
Which ones?
I have Devery Henderson.
Okay, good one. LSU.
Yeah, Jonathan Vilma.
Ah. Jason's got one of those too.
Yeah, of course I got Drew Brees.
Yep.
But my favorite jersey is Kyle Turley.
Oh, because he ripped the Jets helmet off and threw it off the field. Right?
Yeah, he ripped the Jets helmet off and threw it like 30 yards.
So you're probably not familiar with my jersey problem. Apparently, any time I buy a player's jersey, it curses them.
Uh-oh.
Because I bought a Darren Sharper jersey.
Oh, Lord.
Actually, I won a Darren Sharper jersey after the Super Bowl. With the Super Bowl patch on it. And then, of course, you know the story.
Hold on a second, Jeff. Are you saying that Dr. Montague doesn't support Jason and listen to our podcast?
No, he probably does listen to the podcast.
He doesn't pay attention when we're talking about you?
Right, that's it.
Okay, everybody else.
That's it.
Every once in a while I listen, but I didn't realize you guys kept going year-round.
Yeah! Oh.
Man.
We're in demand, okay?
You're in demand.
This isn't just a local thing. This is an international thing. You understand that, right?
Wow.
International fans.
Yeah, I'll tell you, what is it? 7% of our listeners come from the UK.
Really?
Yeah. How do you like that? Saints are very popular in Europe.
I'm impressed. Gee.
So, but anyway, All right. The jersey thing, yeah, and then what was the other one I have, Damon? Junior Gillette.
Junior Gillette
jersey, and then that blew up in our face. So now hey, I've...
I used to have a Norman Hand jersey.
It's almost as bad.
Yep, yeah. Number 99. That was one of my favorite players, too. I should have got him.
Only allowed to buy retired or, you know, past players' jerseys from now on.
Oh,
so. Yeah. So then the last question we have for you is, do you think that Aaron Brooks deserves to be in the Ring of Honor?
Oh, my God. Of course not.
Your son wants him there. Jason is his biggest fan on this show.
Oh, my God. What is Jason
said that he is better than Bobby Hebert.
Oh, no way.
Yes, he does. Look, boom. Oh, I'm so glad Christy got off.
Aaron Brooks better than Bobby Hebert?
We're going to have a Game of Thrones situation where the father disowns the son.
I will. That's why the Fatty Jets have always ruled over the Donkeys.
Because it's talent evaluation.
That kind of talent evaluation. Where is Aaron Brooks right now, by the way? Anybody know where he's at?
Hey, actually, last I had heard, he went back to, you know, West Virginia or Virginia, where, you know, and he's in the construction business.
Not building championships, I'll tell you that.
No. What exactly is he building?
That I don't know, but that was the last. Yeah, that was the last word on him.
Yeah. So yeah, that's so yeah. Anything else you want to say about the show, or about yourself, or about the Saints that you'd like for the listeners to hear?
Well, yes, I would like to throw in my 2 cents on the Saints' current talent evaluation, which I guess we're gonna play like 8 safeties in the on our defense now because we keep acquiring safeties. especially has-been safeties like Roman Harper.
Oh, you don't like the Roman Harper move?
No. I mean, what? They don't even know if he's going to play. They want him for his locker room presence.
Which proves...
I don't think you win football games in locker rooms. You have to win it on the field.
Well...
What are they thinking?
But we showed that when you don't have locker room presence, then you, you know...
Well, yeah.
You have a 500...
Well, yeah, you have problems, but, you know... Are we just going to give up on the defensive line and just play all safeties? Is that a strategy?
Well, Guachum's pretty excited about where we're going.
Who?
Exactly.
Who?
But he's excited.
Oh, that's my only regret is that we're focusing on safeties rather than defensive linemen. So,
that's
I don't know.
It's an interesting take on it. We might have to have you back to talk about that when the –
yeah,
safeties either work out or don't work out.
Yeah,
in the middle of the season.
I have a feeling it's going to be on the don't side. I just don't have a good feeling.
I don't like that, but
I don't like that either. But I mean, I try to be positive, but last I heard, you have to win up front on a defensive line.
Well, we kind of learned that over the last few years, didn't we?
Yeah.
No pressure, give the quarterback all – you give a mediocre quarterback all the time in the world, and he'll complete your passes, no matter how good your safeties are.
I mean, Aaron Brooks could beat us with our defense.
He'll get in the ring of honor against our safeties.
Yeah, he would. I mean, Tavares Jackson could probably be top 10 against our defense.
Right.
But who knows? Maybe they know something we don't.
Yeah.
Well, I don't.
Or maybe they're happy with the line that we have. And
well, that's true. Maybe they have some diamonds in the rough.
We'll see. One way to find out. Play the game.
Stay tuned, yeah.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. And Jason usually says .com after I say that. So since you're his dad, you have to say .com.
.com or .com?
You might have just coined something there. .com.
.com.
Tell Jason that's what he's got to say from now on.
That's right. That's the new saying.
But thanks for joining us, and maybe you'll listen once or twice. If our content is not too lewd and juvenile for you.
Juvenile. Okay. Well, I'll see. Well, hey, I enjoyed it. I feel honored to be on the podcast.
Well, we are glad to have you. Keep it in the family.
That's it.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us. We'll be right back in a minute. We're going to bring on Courtney to talk about the Pelicans and their move in a minute. So we'll run a little commercial break right now.
Here we go. Well, Bujo, he got stopped for speeding. So bought a cop. Got to his door window. He said, license and registration, sir. He said, man, I ain't got that in me. He said, what you mean you don't have that? He said, man, I don't have that. He said, oh, Lord. He said, man, you don't have any drugs or weapons I need to worry about. He said, man, I got a gun in my glove box. He said, and that gun killed that woman in my trunk. But a cop jumped back. He said, you stay right here and don't move. But a cop went and called the sheriff. The sheriff flew over there. He got to the window. He said, oh, Lord. He said, Pedro, what you did this time? He said, man, nothing, officer. He said, the deputy said you don't have your license or your registration. Pujo said, man, look, it's right here. Boy, he checked it out. Everything was good. He said, man, he told me you got a gun too. He said, man, officer, he said, I don't have no gun. He said, man, open your glove box. Boy, open his glove box, no gun. He said, man, what's up with that woman, that dead woman in your trunk? He said, hold on, he opened his trunk, there's no dead woman. He said, man, why are this cop telling me this? He said, I bet that long-ass cop told you I was speeding too, huh?
All right, welcome back. We're going to continue with headlines. Damon, I don't know if you saw this, but the USA Today came out with rankings for the best players in the NFL. I mean, you know, it's opinion piece, and that's what we are anyway. Drew Brees comes in at number 9. Anybody want to guess who's number 1 in USA Today's poll?
It's Cam Jordan.
Aaron Rodgers, but close enough.
Where did
Cam Jordan fall?
I said Cam Jordan. I meant Cam Newton.
Oh, Cam Newton's number 13. Yeah, Cam Newton, 13. Do you like the number 9 position of Drew Brees, or would you feel like he needs to go higher? Do you want to know who's above him?
Yeah, that would make...
All right, I'm going to go up from 9, 8, 7, 6, right? All right, Drew Brees. Antonio Brown, better than him, is Luke Kuechly. Never knew how to say that. Linebacker from the Panthers. Rob Gronkowski. Khalil Mack, linebacker from the Raiders.
Wait, is number 2 J.J. Watt?
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
Yes, it is.
I was going to guess him as number 1.
Yeah. Well, number 1 is, like I said earlier, Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers.
Number 3 is Tom Brady. And number 4 is Aaron Donald from the Los Angeles Rams. The Los Angeles Rams, I said. So, are you surprised by anybody above Drew Brees besides...
it's a hard... It's like you said, it's an opinion piece. When you're throwing different positions in there, you know.
Yeah.
Drew Brees is going to win you more games than
Khalil Mack.
And even Gronkowski, who is a great tight end and someone you'd love to have on your team. But you can't compare him to a quarterback. If we had Gronkowski and not Drew Brees the last 2 years, we'd be a 3-13 team.
And I'll quickly read what they wrote about him. The Saints' record may have dropped off these last few seasons, but Brees is as good as he's ever been. After spending last offseason dealing with questions about his arm strength, Brees went out and led the league in deep ball accuracy in 2015.
It's an opinion. Again, I think it was Jason Lockenfora, somebody they did get quarterbacks. And they had 7 tiers, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And ranking the quarterbacks.
They're not even.
By the way, the voice that you guys are listening to obviously is not Jason or his dad. That's Courtney. Courtney, welcome to the show.
What's going on?
For those of
you... Glad I could sneak in. I'm sliding into your DMs.
That's right. So, Courtney, for those of you who may or may not be longtime listeners, Courtney was one of the founding fathers of the Dome Patrol podcast. He was also on one of our... recent live episodes that we did where we had Fuck the Falcons on. Damon, you missed that show. But Courtney's here, and specifically we're going to talk about Pelicans later on. Courtney's our resident, our Pelicans beat writer, if you will.
But actually, I'm not a Pelicans beat writer.
Yeah, back to the – Courtney, do you have a number, by the way? Do you have a number?
Oh, smooth sailing at a 0.5.
As is tradition. All right, so let's move on to our last headline. Not a huge one, probably doesn't warrant a lot of talk about, but Roman Harper, we talked about last week, returns to the Saints, and the new development between last week's show and this week's show is that he actually gets his number 41 back.
Well, and the fact that he actually signed. As of last week, he had signed.
Yeah, I saw the report that he's going to stay on and be a coach or something.
After the fact.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I don't know how true that is. But
it's kind of what, like, when my dad didn't like it, it's like, yeah, look, it's fine. A vet minimum 1 year deal to come in and help teach some of these guys. And like I mentioned on the Alan Mack show today, it's like, we got a young secondary. It's nice to get a guy who has been around long enough and he can come help teach these guys, like, I'm all for it. Like, we shouldn't be expecting him to play significant snaps.
And you're not going to play him a lot of snaps, and the snaps you are going to play him on are going to be running snaps, like where we're, you know, expecting a run. Like, right. They're not going to put him on third down, on third and long. He's not going to be in that package.
And the good news is it's like we know what he can do and what he can't do. We know he can't cover. We're not going to put him in position to have to cover somebody, you know.
Well, right. That's what I mean. I mean, obviously, we're going to put him in on running downs.
Right. We're going to put him in where it would be beneficial to have him in. But just to have a presence in the locker room and just, you know, as when we lost a lot of these guys a few years ago, our locker room went to shit. And now we're kind of – we brought in Laurinaitis, a good leader who's going to play a lot. We're bringing in Harper. Just a guy – that can,
yeah, I totally agree.
I'm totally fine with it. Like, we're not expecting him to do a lot, which is the way it goes. Something else that I thought was kind of funny. Well, you know, once we cut Evans and cut Colson, like, yeah, Streif's the last guy from the 06 draft class. Not so fast, my friend. Now we got another of the 06 draft class back in the fold. So Streif isn't by himself.
So let's move on then to look at him tweets. Neil replied to Damon's shots fired. No, just kidding. He did. Actually, we were talking about Gray is okay, and he said, I bet Damon dyes his hair.
I wanted the sex pack. Like, I bet he dyes his pubes, too. But I
didn't.
First of all, Jason, you would love to have my beautiful hair. I have a nice, beautiful, thick, naturally black hair. You know,
is it thick? We have
good genes in my family with hair, you know, real men, you know.
All right. So the next tweet, who cares?
I agree. I like Damon's legs as well.
All right, moving on. Next tweet, Jared.
Around compliments.
We mentioned Jared Phillips last week. He was happy about it. He says, cheers for the shout out. Loving the Game of Thrones chat. But which NFL team would represent which house in Game of Thrones? And he suggested that Falcons equals Greyjoy, hashtag dickless.
I can't argue.
And I wonder, Jared Phillips, are you from England? Because you said cheers for the shout out. That seems like a very European thing. And he said also, Jared also said, followed up with, also good news about Harper returning, solid contributor. And if we can get our D too decent, then we're on the right track. So we already talked about that. But go ahead. Is there any NFL team that kind of instantly comes to mind about that? Maybe a house, the Lannister. Who would be the Lannisters in the NFL? Is that like the Patriots or the?
But the Lannisters keep making bad decisions. Could almost say it's the Saints. They were in control, but they
Saints or the Lannisters from 2009 on, right?
Right. From 2011.
That's not a bad comparison. I like that. That might.
It seems like we should have been in power, and yet we just keep making bad decisions.
You're right. Cersei's running. Rita Benson is Cersei Lannister.
Oh, Mickey Loomis. So.
Then let's move into Pelican Plunge.
Yeah. Pass the ball. Final casting call. First of all, verbal basketball. Off the glass, smash your jaw. Too fast for y'all. You might take a nasty fall trying to stick with the prehistoric passenger.
Foul ball. All rep. Oh, finally got some news today. I think it's good news. Some other people would say otherwise. But so the Pelicans hired former Cavs and Hawks GM Danny Ferry on as an advisory role. And supposedly Dell Demps was the guy who requested it, that this be made, and he asked him, and he accepted. And look, I like the move. Ferry is a good basketball mind.
He did very good in Atlanta. He did good in Cleveland.
Look, I mean, they won, and then Atlanta. Look, he made a lot of shrewd moves in Atlanta, and then 2 years ago they won 60 games and were in the Eastern Conference Finals.
If you go, the Atlanta fans were very upset to see him go. You know, they have no ill will toward him. They wish they had him back.
That is a key thing. He was able to make an Atlanta franchise good.
Relevant, right. Which is so hard to do with that shitty fucking...
City, shitty.
You know, but yeah, no. Now, the only disturbing part I heard, and maybe I'll know more about it, is that he's only going to be a part-time consultant. and he's going to split his time between Atlanta, where he lives, and New Orleans.
Look, I don't care. As long as he's
absolutely nothing wrong with that.
As long as he's providing input,
okay. And
Della's going to listen to his input. Like if he's the guy who says, "Hey, look, this off season, you know, if Dell's like, hey, maybe should we pay Harrison Barnes $20 million a year?" And he's like, "No, don't pay Harrison Barnes $20 million a year."
That's it.
Like that is worth whatever he's being paid.
Can he do that for the Saints too? For Mickey Loomis with the Saints about people like Jarvis Byrd, maybe? I don't know.
Well, hold on. I mean, I think you kind of glossing over. You know, I believe for an organization to get the best out of him, to get the best out of any employee, you have to, you know, kind of be there. Don't you?
You don't have to be there all the time. I mean, you could do a Skype chat.
You can phone it in. Okay.
We got this new thing. It's
the internet.
The internet. Thank you, Jeff.
Oh, okay.
We got the internet, and so it doesn't matter.
So okay. So
his.
So Courtney. So you
do whatever.
Courtney, they let you stay home, and you can just phone it in too.
No, that's different.
Oh, okay.
That's different.
So all right. So Courtney, you're here to talk about this. How do you feel about this?
I like it. I mean, it's a move. It's positive.
Danny Ferry.
Glad to have you on.
Is an upgrade
for that in-depth analysis. Of thank you, Courtney. You can go now.
Hey, but Jeff, you got to decide. I can't. I mean, I can't.
We'll send your check in the mail.
Yeah, right. He's like, bye-bye, donkeys.
Does the hiring of Ferry mean that Mickey Loomis is going to be less involved with the Pelicans and be able to focus more on the Saints? What's your opinion on that? Anyone?
I have absolutely no idea, but I would think yes, that Mickey would take a lesser.
That is my big hope from this, because from the get-go, I've said Mickey shouldn't be involved. And even if he's – and Damon's mentioned it before, like I think Mickey's more involved.
Mickey's more involved on the number side of things.
But I just think Mickey has enough on his plate with the Saints that he really should have nothing to do with the Pelicans.
Maybe his shared time is why he made a bad deal with Jarvis Byrd.
If you do think about it, they were purchased in 2012. You know, 2013 we were good, but 14 and 15, yeah, we kind of sucked. I mean, at least half the team sucked.
We also have to realize Mickey's not doing this shit by himself. He's probably got a staff.
Yeah, but the fact that Mickey was involved in any sort with the Pelicans, and they'd always trot him out there for the press conferences, like, you know what? No, that's not it. His job is a GM of the Saints, and that's it.
Well, but we weren't using him that way, and hopefully that's the whole.
That's the hope with this very hire. Obviously, people are going to think the writing's on the wall, but we don't know. I mean, you don't know how it's going to play out. But I like having.
But you said, Jason, too, that they're 12 years. These guys are friends, so this may be a good thing that they work together.
Well, I just like the fact that this is another smart basketball mind that is coming in the building. I think that can only be a good thing.
Well, he's not coming into the building, remember. He's
okay, well, whatever. And he's going to be in the building.
He's going to be on Skype.
But I honestly, the biggest thing is I'm just happy it's not Joe Dumars. Because Dumars is tight with the organization, and he's from Louisiana, and there was a lot of worry that he was going to be the guy. Like if we replace Dell, it was going to be with Joe, and he had a little success with Detroit. But man, he made some boneheaded decisions, and I like Ferry. Ferry is a smart basketball guy. I like the move.
Right, he had success with Atlanta.
I just like, and again, like we mentioned, like this is a football organization still trying to learn how to run a basketball organization. Bring in another smart basketball mind; it can only be a good thing.
But Jason, I want to get back to Dumars because. You can't – T-Bob hates this kind of art or hates his style of art, but you can't magnify his
mistake.
And just say he had a little bit of success. He won a fucking championship in Detroit. And you know what? Like if right now I was a fucking – the green fucking lantern thing from the Great Magoo from the Flintstones and I gave you a fucking wish and I said, Jason, the Pelicans win the championship this year, but we're going to sign. We're going to make some boneheaded mistakes. But you got to trade that for a championship. I think you would take the champ. I would.
I would take a championship over contracts
after that.
Yeah,
get a little bit of success in Detroit and be like, but he made some. No, he was equally bad as he was. Was as equally good as he was. Like I told you, there's not many people out. There's a lot of people out there with bad mistakes. There's not a lot of people out there with champion that orchestrated a championship. Wait,
Green Lantern,
no,
Flintstone.
No, you're right.
Well, you know the little fucking thing that would appear over Fred Flintstone, like the Great Magoo. Or
oh
whatever?
Yeah, that guy. Yeah.
Boy, great party, huh, Fred?
Yeah. You know, Bon, I figured I ought to tell you this. I was walking by your house the other day, and I poked my head in the window, and Betty was undressing. She saw me there, but she didn't stop.
What?
She didn't stop. I mean, she saw me there looking at her, and she kept undressing.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You serious?
Yeah, I got an erection.
Look, obviously he won a championship.
There's no but. I mean, dude, you got that... You got the skins on the wall. You got the skins on the wall.
Yeah, I mean, and that's how, like, you could, even if he just went to a conference final, that's not as good as winning a champion. You know, like, he had the ultimate success. Like,
Sean Payton has a Super Bowl ring that he left.
And we think he's the greatest ever, and we forgive him for whatever mistakes he makes.
Boom.
Because he won the championship. Yeah, you're right.
You're welcome.
Right.
Anything left to say on the Pelicans before we close out the show and move into Game of Thrones spoilers?
My last sports topic. I'll be quick because I know you two don't like it, but Courtney will be into it. The U.S. Open golf second major of the year is next week.
I'm going to go pee.
Tiger Woods officially announced he will not play like a lot of us thought. He won't play, but look, second major of the year. It's played at Oakmont. It's going to be the toughest. It's always the toughest major of the year. Look, a lot of young guys playing well right now.
Yeah, they're saying over par is going to win it.
Yeah, I mean, look, the last time it was played at Oakmont in 07, six over par won. So it's going to be a tough week, but just a lot of good guys are playing really well right now. It's going to be a great tournament to watch. And this will be year number two for the Fox coverage of golf, who started it last year. And a lot of people had issues. You got Joe Buck calling golf. It's kind of weird. And this year is year number two, so hopefully they improve a little bit on their coverage.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to do like we've been doing for the past couple of weeks. We're going to end the show now. For those of you who listen to Game of Thrones, you keep listening. For those of you who don't, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Don't Patrol podcast. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Don't Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, or Google Play, go fuck yourselves. Oh, but there's also the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Don't Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye.com donkeys.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
Let's get into this week's episode of Game of Thrones. It's called The Broken Man, and the opening scene has guest star Ian McShane.
Not only that, it was a cold open.
It kind of was.
No, that kind of was. It was a cold open.
Usually do a previously on, but yeah, they kind of gave us a... Did you guys know it was the Hound? At what point did you...
When they showed his face.
When they showed his face.
All right.
Yeah.
But how excited were you that it was Ian McShane who...
I was very excited.
Damon, I know you. I would know you were because that's Deadwood right there. He's an
that's Al Swearengen, dude. He's one of the greatest characters in TV history.
And ever, like, and I heard he was going to be on
and
it this
Black
season
in Pirates of the Caribbean 4.
Right. I must say, I did think he was going to be on the show a little longer.
It was kind of weird. It was just a one and done. It was like, no, Ian McShane is a one-off.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking forward, and I was, you know, when they had announced it, obviously, you know, when they were filming, and he spoke about it, and I was hoping he would be sort of like the badass he played, you know, he plays a good badass, but that was not the case.
The fact that he was such a major actor, you would think if they're bringing him on, he's going to last a little bit.
Ian McShane's such a good actor, and such a respected actor that... One episode, and we'll always talk about his role in this.
The reason is because he's going to have an effect on whatever the Hound does in the future. It's going to be traced back to this,
right?
To this episode and
great
this guy.
Role for Ian McShane.
Sure.
I think Damon, like you, I would have loved to see him stick on because I just love him as an actor.
Look, it's not the worst thing to have him come in and go out and Did we talk about – I feel like I was talking with somebody about the possibility – now, look, I just assumed the Hound was dead. But I feel like – I don't know if it was on the show or with Renee or somebody else that we had talked about. Is it possible that the Hound – because they never showed the Hound die, was it possible that he's not dead? We talk about that, or was that some other conversation that I just don't?
I have had that conversation, and I, like you, I don't know if it was on the show or off the show, but I've had the conversation.
I think we did, yeah.
Did we predict this is the question. The third instance where the Dome Patrol podcast willed something to happen.
I mean, he really wasn't, like, and, if you look at it, and, like he wasn't a bad guy. He was in a bad situation, but especially after his time with Arya, like, look, we all like the Hound, and when we thought he died a couple seasons ago, everybody was kind of sad. Like, man, like, really, that's how he's going to end?
But isn't there a parallel to Jon Snow here, where, in a sense, that he was...
Well, except Jon Snow actually died.
I'm right, and that's why I said a parallel, not an identical whatever. But, like, no, this is a guy who saw himself as dead, was saved by... A scepter or septon? What do you call him? Scepter?
I think it's a septon.
You know, I don't really recall. Starts with an S. So swim, swami, slippy, slappy, slimmin, salmon, simmon, Swanson.
Maybe it's on the briefcase. Look on the.
Oh yeah, it's right here. Samsonite. I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
This is a new Hound. He's not the same guy that he was. That he's trying to reconcile his life. His whole idea why he was with these people is because he's trying to almost make a penance for the crimes he committed.
Look, he knows, and especially when you had the conversation of Ian McShane, when he mentioned the stuff he did in the past, and he can't ever get that screaming out of his head. And how he's like, look, the guy's...
But you know, he's going to be your anti-hero, a guy who does a lot of bad things for the right reasons.
But look, but because he even told the guy, he's like, look, you have to... like when the... Now, these three guys said they were the Banners, the Brotherhood Without Banners, which is weird because when the last time we saw them, they seemed to be good guys. So I don't necessarily buy in the fact that these guys are really...
Well, I think that's an outlier that Ian McShane's got. Like, his character was the right version of what the High Sparrows are about.
But the problem in this world, that's going to get you killed, and that's what happened.
I get it, but I think if you're talking about the Hound being misguided by something, no.
Well, no, I don't think he's misguided, but the fact that he's like, you know, people can change and... You know, like he could be, and when they came, and he's like, oh, we'll offer you food and whatnot, and that's it. But like, he basically sentenced everybody that was with him to death because he wasn't willing.
Because he
wasn't willing to fight for it. But the Hound realizes, you know what, this world is shit. You have to be. There's rumors, like, you know, where is he going to end up in the story? There was rumors that people want after the Thrones, they want the Clegane Bowl, where maybe he somehow meets up again with his zombie brother.
Well, you know, I would like to see him and Arya team back up.
Well, something's going to happen because when Ian McShane said, look, the guys aren't done with you yet, there's a reason you're still alive. So clearly there's a reason that he is still around. Yeah. He is going to play a big part somewhere down the line.
How is it that when Arya's faceless people's story wraps up, he re-enters the story? You want that. All right, let's move on, speaking of Arya. But let's move on to Sansa Stark, Jon Snow, and Davos trying to build an army, and they end up getting 62 from that fucking bitch.
That was funny. We got 62.
And I love that they played it back later. They're like, and we got, don't forget those 62.
These are the 62.
The one we had to, like, get ass raped by some 6-year-old girl for.
She drove a hard bargain. I mean, she was watching over her people.
Yeah. True.
Good for her.
I mean, I couldn't imagine running a house at 10 years old. Fuck. It feels like Jon Snow, because he dealt with the White Walkers and he came back to life, like, that should have been his plea. It shouldn't have had to go down to Davos. Like, Snow's a fucking pussy.
I agree. I think
he doesn't know what he wants. Like, Snow needs to say, look, the White Walkers are the shit. Like, yes, Davos said it, but Snow needs to be the guy that says that.
Wrong. Snow is the military and the guy you want to fight. He's the leader.
He feels like a pussy.
No, he's saying he's got conviction of, and he believes that what
does he
plan.
He has a confused look on his face a lot.
I think it's a determined look.
Is it really?
Damon, what say you? Confused or determined?
I mean, I think he's torn by what he wants to do.
No, you're wrong.
It doesn't look determined. I mean, he definitely, confused. I mean,
he knows.
Confused the,
no, I think.
Maybe he's a bad actor. But, I mean, you know, but.
I think he's determined. He knows that it's not about the Iron Throne. He knows it's about the White Walkers.
But he's not getting that across in words. Like, why did it take Davos to mention
because
the White Walker?
Jon Snow does. That's not Jon Snow's skill. Is not politics. He's a military commander guy. Davos is the guy who recognized the situation. Like, all right, she's not going to just join these guys to fight Roose Bolton because it's a battle for the North. Fuck you, asshole! I got 62 people at my disposal. I'm not wasting them on your fucking fight. All right. But once Davros vouches for him and then also says, this isn't about these guys wanting to reclaim their land and them asking you for help. This is about the survival of everyone. All of us.
So he's basically saying what I said last week. The Iron Throne means dick. It's all about the White Walkers versus humans.
Yes.
So again, we're like 4 for 4 on our predictions?
At a minimum. Mm-hmm. Ha ha.
So they realize, man, they're really outnumbered, and Sansa was writing that letter. It has to be to Littlefinger to get that army, right? I mean, that has to be who she's writing, right?
Love it. Love it. All right, let's go to King's Landing, where your girl, the queen, sitting with her mother, overseen by the nun.
Her grandmother.
Yeah, you're right. The grandmother, you're right. And gave her the signal. Which we talked about last week was the debate on whether she was converted or she wasn't converted. The grandmother trusted that she was or wasn't. Now grandma knows.
Oh, and if I recall, I think Damon and I thought that she had a plan and you didn't think so.
You guys convinced me in a minute.
King's Landing is the Benson family drama of Game of Thrones.
We all want to see the High Sparrow die. And we all want to see that nun die also. Those are the two characters right now, at least in my book, that even before Ramsay Bolton, I want to see these two get their comeuppance. And we all saw from, I guess it was last week, not the one we're speaking of, but the one before that, where, Cersei said, we're going to make all these fuckers pay. that's what she told her brother. So,
how'd you feel, Damon, when Cersei went to try to recruit the grandma? And grandma was like she didn't back down. She was like,
That was one of the best scenes of the episode.
Yeah.
Bitch.
Yeah.
Because I was waiting for her to be like, you know what? We do need a team up.
Called Cersei out on everything that she did, and she had every right to. It's funny. It's like you might be the worst person ever.
Do y'all feel bad for Cersei yet?
No. I will never feel bad for Cersei.
Damon?
No.
On the fence. It took you long.
I don't feel bad for her because, I mean,
I hesitated too. That's why.
She's definitely evil, but I want to see her get her revenge.
Because you hate the High Sparrow enough.
You know what you want to see? You don't want her to see get revenge. You want to see her, like, come to the good side.
Nope. Thank you.
No.
All right.
He'll never change. He's one of the characters that will never change, I don't think. Just like her father, this is who she is.
Okay.
She doesn't, where you have the Hound. Well, he was, like you were saying, he's not really bad. He was in that situation because of things that happened to him. Cersei is who she is. He wants power. He wants to be in control. She's a Lannister. He feels entitled.
Is she ever going to get a climb before her ultimate demise?
Scepter dies
with the Frankenstein mountain, she's going to kick some ass somewhere.
If Tommen were to die before having an heir, who technically has the right to the throne now? Because he is the last quote-unquote Baratheon.
Right. And
who, you know, like what would happen if he dies before having an heir? Like who, I guess maybe the Tyrells would try to keep it because Marjorie's the queen. But
same thing that's been happening. Everybody's fighting for claim to the throne because they don't think that the Baratheons should even have the throne in the first place.
Well, the key is the throne doesn't fucking matter anyway. But like, what if Tommen dies this at the end of this season? Like it could be, it's going to be chaos.
Yeah.
Oh, good. I don't think they're going
to
do that.
But... All right. So does Jaime ever have a claim to the throne? Because that's a segue.
No. Why would he?
Story. No.
He doesn't.
Where he goes.
No. He doesn't.
He's a Lannister.
He went to Riverrun with the Blackfish.
Right. Riverlands.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Lo and behold, the return of Bronn.
Every scene that included Jaime, I thought was awesome this week. Where those imbeciles are trying to negotiate with the guy, and they don't cut the throat, and Jaime's just kind of watching. And then he, after it's all said and done, he's like, okay, I'm taking over this fucking operation. That was fucking great.
Right. He basically told him, you're all the morons. Get the fuck out of here.
I've already got my troops in place. Like, we'll take you along with the castle if that's what you need. But his conversation at the drawbridge
with the Blackfish, that was a great scene.
Good scene.
Blackfish kind of put him in his place. It's like, I got provision for 2 years. What do you have?
Right.
Are you going to outlast this? Good luck.
Exactly. That was awesome.
So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see, like, are they actually going to have a prolonged battle, or is something going to happen and Jaime is going to realize he's not going to actually attack and try to take back the castle? Like, why does he care about the fucking pigs?
Didn't
I? I mean, I know it was an agreement from back when, and technically...
But into the bridge, like you guys said, it's the bridge. They need it's a strategic castle to own.
But is it worth? I mean, they have 2 years of provisions. Is he going to be willing to risk possibly losing like 4,000 or 5,000 men in this battle?
That's the whole idea.
Right. Maybe they'll just surround. Right. Maybe they'll just surround him and.
It's going to be
You know, will he attack the castle or not?
Attack me or leave. Those are your options. Now
on the next episode, we saw that Brianna's going to make her way there. So when that crew makes their way there, maybe they come to an agreement. Or maybe Jaime finally get brought up on the fact that, yes, there are really White Walkers. They exist.
Uh-huh. And then they try to recruit
them. But will the Starks, you know, ever forgive? They may not forgive Jaime.
You're right. They may not forgive Jaime.
They can't. Now, one thing they did do this week... If they released the titles of the last two episodes.
No, I didn't see the titles. All I heard that the last episode.
Well, Jesus Christ, go ahead.
No, I
was saying something, but it's more important what you say. Go ahead, Jason.
Well, I didn't want you to mention the titles. That's all.
You didn't want to mention the titles?
No,
because
I heard a title was a spoiler.
Oh.
So I don't want to know. So I guess the only other place where we hit Arya is the Greyjoys. We saw them stop off to have a little fun. Arya Greyjoy, that was kind of a confirmation of something we thought.
And Volantis, yes.
Yeah.
That was a very good scene.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that was nice.
I agree, but we also, on top of that, we got confirmation that they're going to try to go to Dany.
Right, and look, so, and
their uncle... Because he's still building ships, and they're
right. They definitely have a head start.
And right, they killed all those ships, you know, parked at Volantis.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're gonna bring it. That's gonna be fun. Something else that's fun, you know, the conversation with Arya trying to snap Theon out of being a pussy. He's like, dude, you gotta wait. You either gotta be you, or I'm gonna just fucking cut bait. You know, like you gotta. You gotta be Theon. Like, fuck this. But it's gonna be funny if they go to Meereen and meet up with those crew. You got Dickless Theon meeting up with Dickless Varys and Dickless Grey Worm. It's gonna be the Brotherhood without boners.
I'm watching his sister, you know, make out with that girl and
that was nice.
and going, hold on. And Theon sitting there all depressed, and I'm thinking, well, his sister doesn't have a dick either. I mean, you know,
All right, talk about Arya.
Look, I mean, who didn't know that old lady was, who didn't see that coming, you know?
It's wild, too. Like, she, especially when she disobeyed the order and saved the other lady, she had to realize, okay, I got to be careful.
Right.
She goes out and she goes to that one guy and she's tossing out bags of money and just walking around like she fucking owns the place. Like, she has to be careful because she has to know this was her last chance. Like, they're going to be out for her right now.
Right, right. She knows their secret. She knows how they kill people. She knows they're some sort of fucking changelings, a master of disguises. I mean, so you see an old lady and she's just going to forget that there's danger around every corner and that they're probably going to come. I mean, that's that part was kind of... Yeah, you know, it was insulting to Arya.
She should have known better, but then again, she is a Stark. Like, Starks have kind of got... made a lot of bad decisions.
They will walk into a trap.
Yes. They will walk into a trap and get fucking killed.
Right. Right, with Ned and Jaime, you know, and they stabbed him in the leg, and
They're righteous to a fault.
Right. They will. Yes. They're trusting. Very trusting people.
Yes.
These Starks.
Right.
You would think that after you've lost your home and your family has been decimated, perhaps you might be a little less trusting.
You might want to start thinking like a Lannister and not a...
Right. A little paranoia is good. That's what I always say. But
the thing with her is, so... You know, she's walking down the street. She's got she's holding in her guts, but it's clear, like, she's... I mean, we can all agree, like, she's not going to die, right?
Right. Oh, I agree with you. Yeah, she's not going to die.
So how the hell...
Well, it goes back to my motherfucker keep bringing people back now.
But I mean, like, it's not like...
She's going to find her own Red Witch.
It's not like wherever she is has good medical care. Like, who is she going to stumble upon that's going to be able to... to somehow save her life? Will she run into maybe like the... I'm trying to think, where would she even find that would survive? And I was thinking somehow the lady in the acting troupe whose life she saved by knocking down the poison is going to find her, but then, like, is there a fucking doctor there that's going to save? Like,
look, with that medical technology that they're dealing with.
Right, back in the day.
That is a fatal wound.
It's either magic
three,
or dead.
Right, three stabs in the gut with the dagger, that's fatal. Okay, right. I mean, that's fatal.
So she needs magic. Maybe the people who are running the play are in red. It's Red Witch shit. So the Red Witches have something that ties... Danny.
Or she runs into another...
Like, John, and now Arya.
I mean, look, we've seen multiple Red Witches, so maybe there's a Red Witch. Maybe that actress...
That just happens.
Like, somebody's going to have to save her, right? She's not going to just heal on her
Logic tells you yes. I mean, now this is a program with dragons, which isn't logical and stuff like that, but logic would tell you yes. But then again, logic would tell you that Jon Snow was dead also.
Yeah, but we all knew. Come on, we all. So, like, I think she has to kill Cersei. I think that's who kills Cersei. I think she kills Cersei.
Oh, that would be sweet justice.
Look, Cersei's on her list. She is going to be the one to kill Cersei.
The last show is 69 minutes, and the second to last show is a whole hour. And if you watch Game of Thrones, you know the shows are... roughly 40. Some of them quit at 48 minutes.
This week, I was like, when he picked up his axe, it was over. I was like, wait, that seems short. I want to see more. Mm-hmm. I really thought it was short this week, but it was like 49, 50 minutes, whatever.
Yeah, because we had no Danny this week.
No, yeah, there were a few spots.
Well, Danny's kind of positioned right now until they get to Meereen, Ironborn.
She's waiting for the Greyjoys to show up.
Right. So we'll follow the Greyjoys, and then we'll get Danny back when they reach Meereen.
The Brotherhood Without Boners.
That's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, or Google Play, otherwise, you can listen to our Saints podcast at Dome Patrol Podcast.
Dadgam.
Say bye-bye, Dankies.
Bye-bye, Ian McShane, Dankies. Oh.
Good night, Hoodat Nation.
When our saints go marching in, when our saints go marching in, Lord, I want to be in that number. When our saints go marching in. And when the sun refuses to shine, when the sun refuses to shine. Lord, how I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Lord, how I want to be there on that morning when the saints go marching.
When the trumpet sounds its call, when the trumpet sounds its call, oh, how I want to be in that number. When the trumpet sounds its call, when the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, Lord, how I want to be in that number. Oh, when the saints go marching in.
Now some say this world of trouble is the only world we'll ever see. But I'm waiting for that morning when the new world is revealed. Oh, when the new world is revealed. Oh, when the new world is revealed. Lord, how I want to be there on that morning when the new world is revealed. Oh, when I sing,
when I
sing, oh, marching in. When the saints go marching in, Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in, Lord, I want,
Lord, how I want
to be in that number.
To be in that number
when the saints go
Yes, Mark Anthony Thompson. He's Patty Scout.